Right now, it is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday Morning Live, rebroadcast during the week and also on the weekends as well. And off the air, we were talking, and I didn't get a chance to tell Arthur that I had some of the same symptoms that he had this weekend. Good morning, Arthur.
Oh, good morning. What were your symptoms?
Well, you said you had joint problems, right? Well, I don't have joint problems.
I have a really bad knee.
What? Get this now. We didn't talk about this beforehand, right? Yesterday afternoon, I was watching the football games with my feet up on a recliner, and my big 75-pound dog decided to run across and hit my leg, and my right knee since then has been unbelievably painful.
Well, was it painful before that?
It was sore.
At all?
It's been sore. I mean, I have my joints are always sore, but this is now like I'm limping sore, you know?
Yeah, well, I've been that way for a while, and I don't want to tell my sad saga. I'm just going to say the bottom line is don't let anybody tell you that we don't want to be Canada because you have to wait for medical treatment.
That's right.
Because I'm having that situation in particular with my knee. So, moving on.
Yes.
There are many reasons. Actually, good segue, Arthur. There are many reasons I need comfort food these days. And for me, it's pasta. I can't go further than that. But I'm trying not to eat pasta every day. Anyway, I open a magazine. I don't get food magazines except Fine Cooking. And their subtitle is For People Who Love to Cook. I don't love this magazine as much as I used to because in the mode of the day, they contort things too much for me. I like simpler, more direct food. So, there is a food writer who contributes named Clifford Wright, and I totally admire and trust Clifford, who we've met a few times, but just to say hello, he's not my buddy. But I'm a follower of his, and so when I needed comfort food, I turned to the latest issue of Fine Cooking and Clifford's recipe for Swiss mac and cheese, a very different recipe, not your American-style mac and cheese, which is, generally speaking, a bechamel, a white sauce with lots and lots of cheese melted into it, and then the macaroni added, often with a crumb crust on top. There are many other kinds of mac and cheese. But anyway, that's sort of the standard American-style mac and cheese. If you go to a soul food restaurant where they specialize in mac and cheese, as many do, that's what you'll pretty much get. It's sometimes baked, sometimes not. Moving on, this is something different, and it reminded me of another mac and cheese recipe that my old buddy Suzanne Hamlin discovered somehow, where you just take macaroni and cheese and pour milk over it and bake it in the oven, stirring it a few times. It is a little bit of a nuisance, I think, because you have to keep opening the oven, stirring it, closing the oven, let it blah, blah, blah. This one is seems on paper not so elaborate or time-consuming, but in fact, it's a little bit of a project, worth it in the end. It's a little bit of a project because it is topped with fried onions. Now, what recipe am I not going to make? A macaroni and cheese topped with fried onions? There's more. And a simple recipe as a side dish to this of, Clifford calls it applesauce. I would call it sautéed apples, make them a little mushy if you want. I left mine, I'll tell you how I did mine. But it's a great counterpoint to this very rich macaroni and cheese dish. So the macaroni and cheese is supplemented by potato. So this reminded me of a very, very famous Neapolitan comfort food of pasta e patate. And pasta and potatoes is also embellished with cheese. And usually it's a local smoked cheese called provola, which is it's not provolone, but it's a smoky, good melting cheese. And in the Neapolitan version, you make a little base with some herbs and scallions. In my recipe, scallion, you can see find this recipe in my Southern Italian Table. Oh, but actually, it's in Naples at Table and Southern Italian. Both books have versions of this. But generally, you cook the potatoes ahead with some other seasonings like onion and herbs, and then you add the potato and the macaroni, and in the very end, you add tiny cubes of smoked cheese and let it melt into the mac and cheese. I'm getting hungry talking about this. So this version from Clifford Wright also has pasta and potatoes. But let's start with the onions. I must say, I have followed Clifford's career for years and have cooked many of his recipes, and I know that they're very well, certainly if it's in Fine Cooking magazine, and it's been very well tested. So this recipe, as written, worked perfectly, although I did change one little thing. So you want to cook your onions. Dice the onions. It should be three, and he actually says two large yellow onions, and I love this, in parentheses, 3 3/4 cups, which is exactly what I had with three meat. 3 3/4 cups. And I sautéed those in 3 tablespoons of butter, not olive oil. I must say it was nice to have the butter taste, since I'm a person who mainly cooks with olive oil. And you cook them over medium-low heat for 10 minutes until they start, until they get tender. It takes about 10 minutes. And then I increase the heat ever so slightly. Reduce the heat ever so slightly, and then cook them for another 15 minutes, as the recipe says, until they were really golden. And I season them with salt, and you put that aside because that's going to be the actual last thing you do is put this topping on. For the applesauce, now Clifford has you doing, or the magazine in any case, has you doing it while you're doing other things, but it seems to me you could do this way ahead, which is what I did, and I used 1.5 pounds of golden, I used, he calls for Granny Smith, I happen to love Golden Delicious for this. I thought Granny Smith might be a little tart.
Too bitter, yeah. You're exactly right. Much too bitter for applesauce.
Well, yeah, anyway, there was also a sale on Golden Conditions, which does contribute to my purchasing. Yes.
And should to everybody's.
My decision. How,
no, just.
So you just, in this case, and I would do this again just for its own sake, if I needed, very often when I serve pork, even if it's not American-ish pork or North European pork, even if it's Southern Italian pork, Bob says, where's the applesauce? So, making actual applesauce to me is a bit of a project, but this is not. I just peeled and cored 1.5 pounds of Golden Delicious apples, sliced them thin, sautéed them in a nice size skillet with just 2 tablespoons, 1 ounce, 2 tablespoons of butter, and as they were getting tender, I sprinkled with 1 tablespoon of sugar. Now, in the magazine's recipe, they have you add some apple juice to cook the apples with at the end, but I didn't want to go out and buy apple juice for 1/4 cup of apple juice, so what I did was, to tenderize them, is I covered the skillet and let them cook for about 8 minutes. They were done. Didn't need 15. And I set it aside. At the last minute, when I was ready to serve the mac and cheese, I reheated the apple, so it was a hot applesauce. And some of it was mushy, and some of it was in nice pieces, all tender. So for the actual, see, this is a bit of a project.
Yeah, it sounds
but
it.
I do this on Sunday morning when when I have the irritating political shows on, and I need this after.
So it calms you.
Well, this is, you know, starch is calming. That's scientific.
Oh, more to the point, did you see the most recent study, yay, that this is over 20 years, that says if you basically don't eat any carbohydrate, your body doesn't, it's not good for you? Seriously, total low carb diet.
I didn't need a study to tell me that.
I understand, but many people do because carbohydrate's the devil. The devil.
They've got to be of a certain age. I don't know. Maybe not. Gluten, you know, the gluten thing is about carbohydrates.
I understand.
And I did read something recently about how if you're gluten-free, you're missing out on a lot of nutrients that you can get from grain. So I'm only against being against.
We've got to put that on a T-shirt. That's great.
Well, it's already on a T-shirt, Marshall.
Being against. I want to finish this recipe. Now, if you get Fine Cooking Magazine, you can turn off the radio now. It's a very, very clearly written recipe. It looks delicious in the pan. By the way, mine looked almost exactly like the one in the picture. This is one thing I did not do. The recipe has you cooking the potatoes and the pasta in the same pot. Now, of course, this depends on the cooking time for these two ingredients. Depends on how big you cut the potatoes and what size pasta you're cooking. Now, I used ziti. I have to say that I have an oversupply of ziti. Because that was on sale not many months ago, and I bought like 5 boxes. But I do go through ziti fast. Ziti and spaghetti are our biggest movers here. So I used ziti, and for ziti, I didn't want the potatoes to be cut too big. So I did half-inch dice, and the recipe tells you to cook the potatoes for 3 minutes, then add the pasta, and when the pasta's done, the potatoes will be done. I would have done the opposite. I would have put the pasta in the pot because the pasta takes 8 minutes. My pasta takes 8 minutes. Yours could take 7 or 9. You want to drain it as soon as it's cooked, but not too tender, a little bit al dente because it's going to continue to cook in the oven. So I cook mine separately. It's no big deal to bring a quart of water to the boil and put in your diced potatoes, no matter what size they are, but mine were half-inch-ish. And they're done, I would say, 5 minutes from when the water comes back to the boil. That's all. And you could taste one and see. It should just be just tender. And, of course, because it's not going to be exact cubes, some of the little pieces will be done, and some of the big pieces might be ever so slightly on the verge. Then, and drain them, and let them cool on their own. Don't put them in water or anything. And the pasta the same. Just boil your 8 ounces of pasta. Oh, by the way, it's 6 ounces of potato, except that I had 8, because I wasn't going to throw away a tiny piece of a little potato. That was 2 smallish potatoes. And 8 ounces of pasta, and you in a buttered casserole, 9-inch diameter, at least 2 inches deep, and if you don't have one like that, it could be a 10-inch if you really want it to be, and butter it, and put in half of your pasta and potatoes mixed together, and then scatter on cheese. So for the whole recipe, you need 6 ounces of Gruyere. I see Gruyere everywhere now. Really good Gruyere at a reasonable price, which is about $17 a pound. Cheese has gotten expensive. If you don't want to spring for that, you could use a nice, Finlandia probably will do the deal here. So 6 ounces of cheese, you shred it, put half of it over half the macaroni and potato, put more the rest of the macaroni and potato on, put the rest of the cheese on, and then pour over the whole thing 3/4 of a cup of heavy cream. This goes in a 425 oven for 20 minutes. It'll be nice and bubbly and beautiful. The top pieces are, yes, going to get a tiny bit crunchy and chewy, but the bottom pieces are going to soak up cream and be really tender. And I love the contrast, and the cheese is melty and stringy. If it's good Gruyere, it's not going to be as stringy as some other cheeses. But you can put on, by the way, I would say you could use any kind of cheese you want. I would say this is going to be delicious with cheddar, even, if you want it more American. And when it comes out of the oven, spread over your sautéed onions, which have now been beautifully caramelized, so to speak, and serve it with the applesauce on the side.
How long did it take?
20 minutes.
That's it?
20 minutes in a 425 oven.
No. How long did the entire project take?
Oh, I don't know. You know.
Okay.
I was ready for lunch.
There you go.
I didn't just stand and do it all. You know, I made the onions. I like doing that. Then maybe a half hour later, I did the applesauce. I liked doing that. Sometime just before lunchtime, I boiled up the potato and pasta and put it all together.
Well, I tell you,
I shredded the cheese in between there. You know, I'm big on prep these days. So I prepped everything, and it was all ready to sort of put together at 12:30, 1 o'clock.
You know, it's funny you mentioned the fried onion, the sautéed onions. My father was a pretty big drinker and not a cook, but he always said when we were playing cards at 4 o'clock in the morning in summer, you add sautéed onions to anything and it becomes a masterpiece.
He's right.
He was right.
Anything. Did he have any jokes about that? Does everybody know your father was a comic?
Pretty much at this point they should.
He never made any jokes about it, but it's one of those. Well, he was a real skinny guy. But it's one of those things where he would wake my mother up at 5 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning because we had spent all night playing casino and he'd have her make eggs and onions.
Is that where you learned basically tips for your marriages?
Yeah, unfortunately.
quick question. What about those of us, and a non-scientific sampling this morning indicates that there's more than me, who love the taste of fried onions, etc., but the fried onions no longer get along with them the way they once did, say, decades ago.
Just leave them off. This would be delicious even without the fried.
But there are a lot of there are actually lots of recipes that have onion or garlic in them, and there are.
Yeah. And I feel sorry for you. What can I say?
Okay, good. I like the sympathy.
That's right.
Sympathy's excellent.
I don't, you know, there's no substitute.
No, there really isn't.
It's the most ancient of seasonings.
It's allium. No,
in
it's
the Bible. What did Moses eat when he was out there in the desert? He ate wild garlic and wild onions.
No, it's good. It just sometimes doesn't.
I understand. As I said, maybe there's some medication you can take to prevent this. For instance, you know, people who are sensitive to beans can take those. I forget what it's called. There's a brand name.
Beano.
Herb some?
Beano.
Beano, that's it. Beano. I didn't used to use Beano because I don't have this problem. But Bob used to take Beano and it was very effective. And there might be something.
And there are other enzymes, et cetera, that you can totally take.
So what about if something is cooked with onion? Is that a problem?
Depends on how much. Absolutely depends on how much. Marshall.
I always joke that it's the onions are the main seasoning of Yiddish cooking. Because we eat them from raw to burned.
Right. And
at what point you would say, you know, well, different dishes have different flavors.
That's right.
Different onion flavors.
But they're onion bagels. They're onion everything's, you know, with little.
Well, you don't have to eat an onion bagel.
No, I understand.
If you have problems with onion, you know what I mean?
But the issue is it's not a blanket, like, okay, X amount of onion. It totally depends on amount. It does depend on how, shall we say, gently they are cooked. etc. But
all I can say is when you come from a Jewish and Hungarian background like I did, onions and potatoes.
Yeah, you got it. And together they
have everything. Yeah, but listen, both of you. I mean,
people say, what's the secret to a potato knish? And the answer is potatoes. Onions. No, onions. What's
onions.
The secret to, well, how does it, that vegetarian chopped liver taste like chopped liver when it's made with string beans?
Onions. Onions. That's right.
My cousin, I'm not joking about this, but we went to my new favorite restaurant, Azerbaijani place on Coney Island Avenue, and they serve kasha. Because kasha, buckwheat groats, is not especially Azerbaijani, but they have a big Russian clientele. And, of course, during the Soviet years, some of these foods lapped into, you know, one, over one region into another. So we ordered some kasha because my cousin loves kasha. And then she says, but where's the gravy with onions? I said, wait a minute, this is not a Jewish Eastern European restaurant. This is Azerbaijani. So she was missing the onions. So now I have to make kasha varnishkes for her. And I actually make it when I don't have a roast to have juices from to put over the kasha. I saute a lot of onions, and I deglaze the pan with from these caramelized onions, and use that as the broth. Maybe I'll have a little real broth too, but certainly I will add the onions to the broth. The onion deglazed pan of onion sugars, basically, is what they are, to give it that flavor. And that's, by the way, it's, I guess I'm thinking that's a vegetarian, that's even vegan, come to think of it, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that everybody's becoming vegan, the new thing, it's not so new anymore, but it's becoming more commonplace. And restaurants actually have vegan, I read reviews and it says, oh, and it's very friendly to vegans. Anyway, I'm not making any judgments about this, but as I'm cooking recently, I realize, this is vegan. It's vegan and you don't even know it.
Onions are so good that when my father used to eat caviar when he was sitting at home on Ritz crackers, we couldn't stand the taste as kids, but he would put a bunch of chopped onions on top of it.
On Ritz crackers? Yeah. How nauseating.
Oh, it sounds delicious.
And so you have chopped...
My father was addicted to Ritz crackers.
You guys, and so was my mother, and it was just like repulsive. Give me...
No, Ritz crackers are delicious.
The best thing that happened in life were, at the time, Bremner wafers, and then Kars water...
May I say it's so? I don't want to use the word.
Don't.
I want to move on because actually, this.
I'm listening to.
I don't cook a lot from Fine Cooking Magazine, but that was a real winning recipe from somebody a writer I knew was reliable, it's not a matter of reliable because everything in this magazine is reliable because it's very well tested in their test kitchens, but Clifford and I have the same taste, and he writes a lot about Mediterranean food. But on another note, Chinese New Year is coming up. And so they have a feature by Ming Tsai. Do you know who he is? He's been on television
for a long time. The chef, Ming, yeah.
Yeah, Chef Ming Tsai.
Yeah.
So he has recipes. He wrote about recipes for the New Year, including... a recipe for red roast chicken or duck. Now, red roast is like char siu, you know, it's that's pork cooked in this sauce and glazed because it's sugary. And it's really a sauce that is to be used, it has enormous quantities of everything because it's meant to be used and reused and reused. Of course, every time you use it, you bring it to a boil, and if you're not using it, you have to take it out of the refrigerator and bring it to a boil to make sure that nothing is growing in there. But the initial recipe is an enormous, when I say enormous quantity, we're talking 3.5 cups of red wine, 3 cups of soy sauce, 1 cup of black soy sauce. I happen to have some here, so I think I'm going to make this. I just need to buy a new supply of soy sauce. And then the sweetening is rock sugar, which I don't have at hand. But he says you can use dark brown sugar. But I'm going to, we have so many Chinese stores nearby, I think I'm going to go out and actually buy, because it costs for 2¾ pounds of rock sugar. And you boil all this up with scallions and ginger and garlic and chili peppers and star anise and cinnamon sticks and a chicken. And I'm not sure exactly why we have to cook a chicken as opposed to some cut of pork.
It's for New Year's.
But, of course, his recipe results in this incredible chicken and you're going to serve with sweet potatoes. And I don't know. I have to examine this. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to definitely make this red roast braising liquid. Because, well, I have the refrigerator space.
There you go. All right.
Well, we thank you.
I've emptied out the freezer. I've emptied out everything. I'm into being down to the nub.
And you're ready for the Chinese New Year, which is at least...
And I want to get ready for China, which is, I don't know, it must be coming up any day now.
No, it's always the new moon in Aquarius right after, because they're on a lunar
calendar.
So
when is that?
February, I will tell you in a second, February 5th.
It's sooner than you think.
February 4th. Only,
it's not even 3 weeks away.
Prepare ahead of time.
It is 3 weeks away.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Dun. Life, life goes faster after 50.
The 14th, you have the 21st, you have the 28th, and then you have, because I don't know, obviously they're on a...
I have a Chinese friend in town from China, and we already talked about doing something for Chinese New Year. She says, of course, it's not nearly as big a deal here, even in our Chinatown, as it is in China.
Right.
But he has, I must say, the Chinese recipes are usually too much for me. and as I have access to what I think are really good Chinese restaurants, not so much in my neighborhood, but near enough, that I don't really try too much to make Chinese food. I do other things better. Then again, you look at a picture of Ming-sized longevity noodles and you want to eat them. I may just have to find some place that makes them.
All right. Well, that's it.
All right, moving on. I never got to magic chicken, but I'll do that next week.
Yeah. All right. Well, just remember, onions rule.
Onions do, and as Burt Green, great food writer, long deceased, good friend, he used to say, as his mother used to say, and you got to know your onions.
All right, Arthur, we'll speak to you next week.
Bye.
Arthur Schwartz, the food maven here on Robin Hood Radio, and you can hear Arthur live on Friday, and of course, always, 24 hours a day at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand, click on Arthur Schwartz, the food maven.